learn a lesson of something that the Lord gave me. Something a little different this week. So I'm going to do my best to get to the point and get over what he gave to me, that it be a blessing, be a help to you. I desire your prayers, as always. I don't want to be up here just talking. I want you to be able to get something out of it. So please pray for me. The title of the lesson is Ziklag. Z-I-K-L-A-G. Ziklag. All right. And so before we get too deep into the reading will be done in 1 Samuel 30 and 1. A couple of things I want to mention before we get to that reading. God will help us to recover things that we have lost. He'll help us to regain those things that are important to us, things that we need. Sometimes it seems impossible or improbable to get back the things that we have lost. But in Mark 9 and 23, it lets us know that with God, all things are possible. All right, and then also in Mark 10 and 27, it says something about the impossible as well. I'm going to read that for us right quick. In Mark 10, in verse number 27, it says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." All right, so we can't look at what we can do or what we think we are capable to do, but we need to look at what he can do and what he has done, all right? And we need to remember that God is a God of redemption, because that's what salvation is all about. When you're in sin and when you're in the world, you are at odds with the word, the way, and the will of God, and you need redemption. You need to be saved. And so not only can he redeem us, but we need to look at God in a way that he wants us, when we have lost things that are important. Sometimes we lose a sense of self-worth. Sometimes we lose friends and loved ones. We lose relationships. Sometimes we have taken great financial loss or whatever case may be. God is a God of restoration and recovery. And so what we're going to be talking about this afternoon is a situation where God was able to help somebody that we're very familiar with get back things that were lost, all right? And so we need God to help us to reclaim something. If we think that we have lost everything, I encourage you to do what the brother was talking about this morning. Start and end with prayer, all right? Let's go to 1 Samuel 30 and 1. I don't know if you all are very familiar with this, but it's a beautiful story about Brother David. All right? And so I'm going to pick up on the first verse. Again, continue to pray for me. I don't want to be up here all day, because I don't think it takes that long to get to the point, but I want you all to understand what the Lord has for us this morning. It says, "And it came to pass," I'm going to read down to verse 10, "it came to pass, David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day." So Ziklag is a city. "And the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord," praise God, his God. "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, and thou shalt surely overtake them without fail, recover all. So David went, and he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over to the brook. And we have more reading, but we're going to stop there, and we're going to get into this a little bit. All right, so Brother David was elsewhere, all right? And he came back to the city of Ziklag. This is in verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. So this enemy had come in and attacked the place where his wives were, the place where his children were. Not only that, but the place where all the people that were with him, they had got lost all their loved ones and all their things, right? It says here that it burned it with fire. In another place, it says it burned it to the ground, right? And so they didn't kill the people. They took the women, they took the children, and they took the good things, of course, and they left. And so sometimes when we do things that are displeasing to the Lord, and we come back and we see the damage that has been done, and I'm not saying David did anything displeasing, but this can happen. Sometimes we don't value like we should what God has given us. And so we leave it open to the enemy to take. And then when he's taken it, then we're all sad about it. We're going to read about that. And so one thing we need to realize in this first scripture is that when you have something of value, you need to be careful with that thing. Nothing wrong with leaving some people behind and to protect just in case someone was to attack. All right, so it burned the city and all the women and all the children. So it says here in verse number 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Do y'all get a picture of what's going on here? It says they wept until they had no more power to weep. I want us to be thinking about that. Sometimes things can happen that are so hard and so harsh on us. There's a reason why this is in the Bible. We need to acknowledge where we're at and what we're going through. But once we have done that, what needs to happen is, and this is what the Lord gave me out of this one, we need to spend more time on fixing the problem than worrying about the problem itself. You understand what I'm saying? These people that had, we don't have, in my mind, the women and the children are gone. We need to get up and we need to go chase that. And we need to go find out what's going on, right? And do something about it. But we can sometimes wallow in our own defeat. We can wallow in our own circumstances and situation, and we spend our energy there, and it's misappropriated energy. We put the energy in the wrong place. The brother said, if something was to happen to you, and you need some help from the Lord, then you do what? You pray, right? So we could have been crying out to the Lord while we're sitting there crying until we done cried all our tears out of our whole body. We ain't got nothing left. We could have been using those tears to talk to the Lord about, all right? So they were in great sorrow, and rightfully so. All right, then David and the people that went lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken from him, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. The other thing that happens is when we lose something of great value, many times we look for someone to blame. Yes. Huh? They wasn't stoning him when they was over doing whatever else they was doing. right? But it seems to be human nature. We're either going to dwell on the problem and let that hinder us, or we're going to figure out who we can blame and attack them instead of figuring out what we need to do about what's going on. All right, I need to recover these. My wife and Teresa, get on back here. Where you think you going? Huh? She ain't going nowhere. I don't know what they thought, but we're going to get her back. And little Henry and Colton and whoever else, kids, we're going to get them back, right? I want to spend my time on those things. You understand what I'm saying? But when something happens, many times we want to blame somebody or we want to wallow in our grief and our sorrow. I'm not saying you don't get to grieve or be sorrowful about something, but I'm saying that what God is teaching us is figure out what needs to be done about this by God's grace and by his help and by his mercy. All right, so it says here, David was greatly distressed as well. And the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David did what? He encouraged his own self. Sometimes you got to encourage your own self. Sometimes everybody's sad and you ain't got nobody else to encourage you. So you got to go to the Word of God. You got to go to the Psalms. You got to go to some past victories. You got to do something in order to keep yourself going. And there's a way to do that. God has a way for us to go to him when we're in these types of situations and we're able to encourage our own selves by the Word of God. May God help us. The Bible tells us to get the Word written upon our hearts. So even if they take the actual physical Bible from us, they take our phones or whatever else, it's still in our hearts, and we can encourage ourselves with the Word of God. We can think of encouraging scriptures. We can think of songs. We can think of past victories. We can think of other people's victories. These are ways to encourage ourselves. Because what's the bottom line? Can I stop right here? Something bad has happened. Oh, no. Need to go ahead and just quit right now while you still can, right? Because that'll be good, right? No? We got to keep going. There's still a heaven to make, right? We don't want to be lost, and we don't want to be unprofitable servants, and so there's still something that has to be done. God said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So there's a reason and a purpose in here, and what is my reason, Lord? What is my purpose? What am I trying to learn here? All right, and so it says here, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me thither the ephod. Y'all know what the ephod is? Brother Dave probably know what the ephod is. You know what the ephod is?
The priest.
Yes.
The priest wore when he went to see God's face.
Yes, amen. So I thought about the ephod in this way. I have a place, and maybe you do too, I have a place where I like to go and pray. I can't always get there. Sometimes I need to bring something for my knees so my knees don't get tired. I'll put something on the ground, but it's somewhere where I've met with God before, and I've received encouragement and help. And this ephod, he's saying, listen, I'm about to go do some praying. I'm about to go see the Lord about this, all right? And so that's what that ephod represents to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? All right. And so when we are looking to do something for the Lord, we need to make sure that the Lord is in it first and foremost. All right. So what's happening here is it's very obvious to you and to me, if we were in that situation, that we're not supposed to let the children and the wives be taken away. Right. But we don't know the mind of the Lord. So what's very important, what David was doing here was making sure, and it's very important for us to do it as well, to make sure that we get the mind of the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't always do the same thing the same way all the time. Right? Some battle he might have you go out and fight with your sword and shield. Some battle he might say you stand and be still. Some battle he might tell you walk around the walls. You see what I'm saying? And so we know what needs to be done, and we need it to be done, but we need to make sure that we're in the mind of the Lord. We have his mind, and we're following his leading and his guiding, so that whatever it is that we go out to do, there'll be a success in when we get back from it, all right? May God bless us and help us today. All right, so when we do something, we want to be for sure in the will of the Lord, all right? When you're in trouble, seek the Lord, and he will come and be your aid. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, if you beat me there, go ahead and read it. Somebody go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and read that for us and tell us what it says. You know it, don't you? I hear you over there. What does it say? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. What's the next verse say? In most of your ways. Does it say that? Huh? In almost all of your ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. What else, Brother Landon? He shall direct thy path. So we think we know what needs to be done. We most likely might know sometimes what needs to be done. But before we go out and try to do it, let's get the mind of the Lord. All right, let's get the mind of the Lord. And God, he will meet us and he will guide us. It says that if we'll acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct our path. If we trust in him and don't lean to what we think we know, then that's starting in the right place. All right, moving forward. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 30, and we're off on verse number, I believe, 8. All right, let's read that. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. So he got his answer. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. All right, so God gave him the go-ahead. He gave him the go-ahead. He said, go and go recover how much of it? Most of it. Huh? Recover all. So God is a God of recovery. I know that I have done some things in my life, I'm telling off on myself, in disobedience to God. And God warned me that there was going to be consequences. But I did it anyway. And there was loss that was had in those types of places, in those areas. But when I began to do what the scripture said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and put God in his proper place, I don't care what the problem is, you put God in his proper place, and he will lead, guide, and direct you, and you'll be getting some of those things back that you lost in the first place. All right, and so we'll read more. It says here, so David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Okay, so what does that mean in verse number 9? What is they talking about? He had 600 men, and then what happened at that brook? Some decided not to go, then we don't need to go then, right? If though none go with me, what? I still will follow. Though none go with me, what? I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Huh? That's what the song says, and that's what we're going to have to do, too. Sometimes we're going to get to the places where we all remember, and back in a few scriptures back, they was hyped up, wasn't they? They had a whole bunch of energy then, didn't they? They was going to start him, wasn't they? Why don't they use some of that energy to keep going forward to help him in the fight? Right? But sometimes there are going to be other people that they're not going with you to recover what needs to be recovered. They're going to turn back on you. But you need to be encouraged in the Lord to keep going on for the Lord. He didn't worry about those 200. He said, yo, you know what? Y'all stay here. Y'all's going to stone me a few scriptures back. But you know what? I know y'all tired from all of that and all of the weeping and the crying. Right? So y'all stay here, and we're going to go forward. So verse number 10 reads, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over to the brook of Besor. Now, these are fighting men now. They so tired, they couldn't go. You know what I think about this, don't you? If you allow me. They saw that damage, those burned buildings. Huh? They came back to that town. They saw what was done in that town, and their heart failed them. Right? They it was all good when it come to stoning David. It's 600 of us or 200 of us. We'll stone you, and we'll get you done. It's 200 to 1. But when it come to dealing with that enemy, that real enemy, see? See? I don't know if that did happen, but it's a possibility. All right? So let's skip down to verse number 16, and we're going to read through verse number 20. I appreciate your time and your attention. There's something that happened. I'll paraphrase it for you. I'll give you, a brief summary. Verses 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. They met up with an Egyptian man while they were going and chasing those people. All right, so they met this man, and they threatened him down and going to cause him harm. He said, listen, I know where y'all's people is. He said, y'all don't kill me. I will show you where those folks are. And David, being wise as he was, he said, okay, we'll do that. And so we're picking it up in verse number 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, there was spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. So this is the Amalekites. Not only did they take his stuff, burn his city, but they're going to have a party with his stuff. Now, what do you feel about that? I don't like that. Zella, do you like that? You let him do you like that. He'll take your stuff and have a party with it. If you let him. Don't let him do that. Go back and get what you have lost. May God help us. Go back and do what Brother David. Let's see what Brother David. I'm gonna tell you what Brother David did. David went slap off. He went off. Let's read verse number 17 and see what it says. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. Okay? And they were escaped, not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Okay? I'm talking about the recovery process. Y'all gonna take my stuff, burn my city, and then have a party? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not by God's help. We're gonna come and get back what the enemy has took from us. All right? And we're gonna whoop him up real bad and send him on his way. The ones that survived, they was on the camels taking... Get a vision of it. They said, we don't care. We're gonna get us out of here. We gone. We don't want none of this. Right? It's comical, but it's also true. I want us to understand that this is what God wants for you and for me. He doesn't want us to suffer these kinds of loss, especially in a spiritual way. If you have suffered, say you had a battle and you were unsuccessful, be honest with yourself. You took a loss. The enemy is absconding with your stuff. Go pursue him by God's help and take your stuff back. That's what we're talking about. You see what I'm saying? Because the enemy wants you to wallow in defeat. He wants you to wallow in the blame game. And meanwhile, he's getting further and further away with your stuff. And he's laughing at you and having a party with your stuff, talking about how he did you. All right? No. How about that? How about no? How about never? And how about always no? Give me my stuff back. Yes. That ground that I had that the Lord had gave to me, that he took from me, I'm taking it back by the grace and help of God. Yes. Right? That's what we're talking about this afternoon. All right. He smote them and they escaped, they ran. And David recovered how much? Verse number 18, and David recovered how much? All that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughter, neither spoil nor anything which they had taken to them. David recovered all.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
See, that's the beautiful part right there. Got every last bit of it back. Yes. Nothing was missing. the sons, the daughters, and then what does spoil mean? Stuff, right? All the nice stuff. I'm sure they took the gold and the nice chariots and whatever they could lay their hands on and travel with, they took the good stuff, right? They got everything back. And then let's read verse number 20. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they had drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. So not only did he get all his stuff back, he took some of their stuff as well. Y'all see what I'm talking about? It's a simple passage. It's straightforward. It's about 20-something scriptures, but it's talking about your and my experience with the Lord in terms of if there has been loss and what we can do about it. Sometimes when we lose something, we just say, oh, well, it's gone. It's gone. I'm not going to be able to get that back. I fought too hard and long for it, so I ain't going to be able to get that back. So I guess they're gone now. I guess I'll just, this brook right here, I'll stop at the brook with the other 199. No. Listen, we can't get it back unless we go and try to go get it back. Yes. It's not going to come, the devil ain't going to bring it back. The enemy's not going to bring it back, he ain't going to give it back. Right? So we got to go and get it. So our minds, I want us to be thinking about, by the grace and help of God, what is it that the enemy has took from us, or what is it that we lost that we know that we need back? And then by God's help, we need to be going forward from this day forward, by the grace and help of God, to go and get it back. Is it your peace? Is it your joy? Is it your happiness? Is it a relationship that seems to be irreparable? Right? Is it when I know that sometimes when we have been in sin and we have been lost in the world, even when you're saved, you have a lowered opinion of who you are in Christ. I'm going to say that again because you don't hear that a lot, but it's true. When you're on the devil's territory, what he does is he does all he can to take as much as he can from you. So even when you get saved, sometimes you will have things about you that God intends for you to have that he gave you originally that you don't think you remember that when the prodigal son, he came back, he said what? He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to eat as a hired servant. And he was content to live that way. But I want to encourage you today that you don't have to live that way. If you are a child of God, you are a son of God Almighty, and you are a brother or sister to Jesus Christ. And so you don't have to hang your head low about nothing. You can get all of that back. Your self-esteem, I'm not talking about pride, but your self-esteem and your self-worth, you can have all of that back by the grace and help of God. Because you can still be a Christian and still be living under those kinds of mindsets. And I want you to be encouraged that God has something better for you and for me. May God help us this morning. Somebody read for me in closing Romans 8 and 31. I want us to know that God is willing and he's able to bless and to help us. God does not want us to be without anything that is necessary for us. I didn't know that Brother Tavis was going to preach about praying this morning. But this goes right into what it is that we need. Sometimes we pray, and then sometimes we have to make things a matter of prayer. All right. And so if there's something of this nature that we're talking about this morning that you need from the Lord, I want you to be encouraged to make it a matter of prayer and recover what it is that you have lost. Go ahead and read that for us, please.
What shall we then say to these things?
All right.
If God be for us, who can be
against us? All right. So what we want to understand is, remember that Brother David, when he found out what the problem was, He had his moment of sadness. He had his moment of whatever it was, but then he went straight to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I need your help here. And he asked the Lord, Lord, can I get these things back? God said that he could. He went with God. He didn't let those that didn't go with him hinder him. Right? Think about it. I don't know how many people that the enemy had, but Brother David only had 400. But these people destroyed an entire city and took everything. So I don't know how many of them of it was, but it probably wasn't a small number. So he could have got discouraged at that brook like everybody else, but he didn't let that hinder him. May God help us this afternoon. God has a blessing for us. If we have a loss in our relationship with God, if we have a loss in any kind of way, I'm encouraging you this afternoon, go to the Lord. Make it a matter of prayer. Get his direction. Follow his direction. And most importantly, I want you to expect to be victorious. Because if God be for us, then what? Can't nobody come against us. We are going to be as successful by the grace and help of God. I appreciate your time and your attention. I hope I didn't go over too far. If I did, please forgive me and pray for me. I want to make heaven my home, and I want you to make heaven your home too. Pray for me. I will be praying for you.